1208, this is WGN. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch now with me, John Williams. Ji Soo Kyi entertains you weeknights on WGN Radio at 7 p.m. I hope you're listening to us 24-7 and make sure you've got G on your schedule at 7 o'clock at night. You can't watch TV forever, and I think a little background and foreground radio is a good idea just to sort of keep you connected, which is what we're going to do here. The number, as always, is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Terry Savage is set to join us in just a minute. A quick note about a couple of things going on in the coronavirus relief world before we get to Terry. And one I thought was an interesting Q&A that was posted in the New York Times about the Paycheck Protection Program. This is part of that small business recovery that a lot of businesses will try to take advantage of, but not all will be able to get their hands on. The funds are limited. And so in the Q&A, I just wanted to get to a point that the New York Times pointed out. Who is eligible? Businesses and nonprofit organizations with fewer than 500 workers are eligible for aid, including sole proprietorships, independent contractors, and freelancers. If you are driving for Uber, technically you are eligible for some of this. The Paycheck Protection Program is a forgivable loan intended to pay for 8 weeks of a business's payroll costs, so the company can retain workers and hire back those who have already been laid off. The question is posted, will the money for these programs run out? And of course, the answer is probably yes, possibly quickly. You might not be able to get your hands on it at all. President Trump and others in his administration have said they will ask Congress for more money if the aid runs out. I think it may have or is about to. About the Paycheck Protection Program. The program offers loans up to $10 million to cover 8 weeks of payroll plus some additional expenses like rent and utilities. How does the loan forgiveness work? Both full and partial forgiveness is available, full and partial. You might not have to pay back any. Businesses can have their loans forgiven in full if they maintain their full-time equivalent headcount based on a 40-hour work week and wages for 8 weeks after the loan is disbursed, according to the Treasury Department. The agency said that not more than 25% of the forgiven amount may be used for non-payroll costs like rent. This is paycheck protection. Forgiveness will be reduced for companies that trim their headcount or cut workers' wages by more than 25%. Also, businesses can borrow and have forgiven only the first $100,000. I'll repeat that. Also, businesses can borrow and have forgiven only the first $100,000 in payroll for each employee. So they're not going to give more than $100,000 to anybody, but that keeps people on the payroll. What's missing here, by my estimation or observation, is hardship of that workplace per se. That is, if you've had to lay people off, this makes sense. But suppose you've laid people off, but in fact, your business is still profitable. In fact, it doesn't even say here that you have to have laid people off to be eligible for this. The idea is to cut the bureaucracy and get money into the system as quickly as possible so anybody and everybody can apply for this loan, this forgivable loan. I guess that means this gift, but it's paycheck relief for businesses, and they're trying to make it so streamlined that some people will get it that desperately need it, others will get it who don't need it as much, but they're not quibbling about those finer points so far. Terry Savage joins us on WGN Radio. Let's get started now, Terry. We'll take a quick commercial break, and then we will take questions from our listeners. The number's 312-981-7200. How are you?
I'm fine. Let me, I just listened to your update on the Payroll Protection Act. Let me give you an update. First of all, this morning, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said they won't run out. They're going to push as much money out the door as possible. But number two, the whole program is going to run into hassles, just like individual stimulus, which I know we'll talk about, because these loans are made through the banks. The banks don't have an incentive to lend to the riskiest customers. If you try to get one of these loans, you better be going to a bank that you already have a relationship with, and even so, the banks are not set up to do this. So it sounds great on paper, and it sounds great coming from Washington, and today again an assurance that they won't, quote, run out of money. They will create as much money as necessary, but for small businesses, trying to get one of these loans is going to be difficult. So start, apply at your bank, fill out the forms, but it's not going to happen overnight.
Presumably, if you're a small business, you have a relationship with the bank. I mean, they would do business with you, wouldn't they?
Yes, they want to do business with you, but the banks are just overwhelmed, and they don't have the system set up just yet to start making these loans, on top of which the criteria seem to change overnight. So small businesses are faced with a delay, not after they apply, in getting the loans approved, because if the banks don't make them correctly according to what the government says, then the banks get stuck with the loans on their books, and they won't be forgiven by the government. I'm not trying to cast cold water on it. It's a great idea, a great program, a great announcement, and they're going to put plenty of money behind it. But in principle, that sounds great. In practice, that's going to be tough. And that is the kind of thing that when we talk about stimulus for individuals, those checks that everybody's waiting for, I'm going to give you that same kind of an overview, that it looks great, but here's what you really need to know.
Terry Savage, the nationally syndicated financial columnist, is on the line. TerrySavage.com, 312-981-7200. You're a small business. You've got a Q. I'll bet we've got the A. You may just be an individual with a stimulus check question. Call us now. This is WGN. Now it's 1218 on WGN Radio. Terry Savage is on the phone line. I have one open phone line for you to call in. We'll try and get to your call. 312-981-7200. What's jumping out at you today, Terry, on the markets? We heard Orion's report. What are you hearing?
That's interesting. This is, the world is divided into two or three segments. The government, which is trying to get all these programs enacted, and they're great ideas. The market, which right now is looking past the current economy. The most recent announcement, Toyota is just going to keep its plants closed until May. The fact that businesses and stock pickers are trying to look beyond this economic problem. But for our audience, and I know who you are out there, the immediate issue is, how do I pay my bills? How do I pay my rent? When will I get my stimulus check? Can my small business get a loan? And for this month, the immediate outlook is a bit gloomy on that score, and I don't want you to panic. But nothing is going to happen as quickly as either the market or the government is saying it will, but on a personal finance basis.
I don't want this.
Just by the way, John, I just updated the stimulus check questions. I've been working with TurboTax, and they've been working with Washington. So if you go to TerrySavage.com, don't just click Ask Terry, because every single thing I know as of 9 a.m. this morning is up on my top column post called Stimulus Check Update. And the registration link for TurboTax, after you read the column, if you think maybe the government's going to overlook me because I get SSI or because I don't file or whatever, read the column, and then there's a link to register with the government right through TurboTax. That's all at TerrySavage.com.
One of the questions you ask and answer there is, what if my bank account information has changed from my last refund? And your answer, I believe, is you're going to get a paper check. They won't be able to digitally deposit it, right?
Exactly. So here's the plan. If you filed and qualify based on the income levels, if you filed your 2018 return and got a refund direct deposit, it'll come back to that account. If that account was closed, they will use your mailing address. If you file 2019, which you don't have to do until July 15th and maybe don't want to do because you owe money, they will use the 2018 return. Or if you file 2019s and don't delay, then the refund will come to your 2019 either direct deposit or mailing address. But again, they said those checks were going to start going out right away within 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks and they haven't even started yet. Those are the easy ones to people who file returns. Mm-hmm. But then there's another whole category, people who are on Social Security and disability. They don't even, many of them don't file returns because they don't have enough income. Don't worry if you're on Social Security or disability. your check's going to come to you just the same way you get your Social Security benefits. And let me add one more.
All right.
Supplemental security income is sort of like Social Security, but it doesn't go through the same channels. And a lot of people have written to me saying, oh, I don't think they're going to find me. Well, in fact, right now there's a lot of pressure on the government to get SSI benefits, people who get those, to get their stimulus check the same way. But if you get SSI, go to the link at terrysavage.com. Through TurboTax, you can register with the government to make sure they know where you are. Those are the big categories.
Terry, I'm not a business owner, so I suppose this might sound like a criticism, and I don't mean it that way. But I'm a little surprised, just as a consumer, to hear how able small businesses aren't to withstand a month or two's lost income. I mean, right now, they're having trouble paying their rent, a lot of businesses, and I thought maybe a going concern would have enough money in the bank to be able to do that. I know that...
Sean, it's America. And, you know, remember, two years ago, when we had the budget shut down and there weren't going to be any checks going out to government workers. I mean, talk about this. Government workers, military and so forth, who have good, safe jobs and legitimate paychecks, were not able to live. They were worried about paying their mortgages the next month. Another survey last year that if anybody had a $400 financial emergency, they wouldn't know how to deal with it. America's been living on the edge for a long time, generally speaking, and small businesses are just like people. I mean, they've been trying to make more money and living right on the edge, and the edge just turned out to be a cliff.
The number last year was 40% of Americans don't have $400 for an emergency expense, and now all of us are in that boat. Here come your calls, questions, comments, 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. And we'll start with Terry on line four. You're on the air, Terry. What can we do for you?
Hi, Terry. Hey, I'm a small business owner, and my bank, and we're trying to get a PPP loan, and my bank is not going to participate in that program. So they pretty much sent me to a website, Fountainhead. So yeah, I guess you can kind of tell me what they are, but I applied with them. But very frustrating because the banks, I've tried other banks, and they're telling me pretty much if you don't have an account with us, we're not going to even look at your application. So what do us small business owners do?
Let's give a little negative publicity to your bank who won't take your PPP request for a loan. Who is it?
Okay.
Terry, you're on the air. If you want to tell us the bank, you can. You don't have to, but Terry Savage is ticked at that situation.
You're so right, John. You read me well.
Well, and in fact, now Terry is going to listen to us on hold. I don't know the name of that bank, but I'll bet that there's more than one. And why wouldn't they, though? Is it too much of a hassle?
I know this sounds great, John. I loved your reading at the top of how these loans are supposed to work. But when you think about it, if you're the bank, you're running close to the edge right now. You don't. Not only do you not want new customers, which is Terry, great name, is saying he can't get into, but they don't know the exact rules. If they write these loans a little bit wrong, they're going to get stuck with bad loans on their books. It's just a fact of life. That's the practicality of it. So as much as the government says there'll be tons of money, we'll give you more money, we're pushing it out, the real rubber meets the road is it's going to be hard to get these loans, and they're not going to get there to you this week, next week, or the week after. It's just not happening, and the banks aren't set up for it.
Well, but it seems to me like maybe there ought to be an end around from the banks. If it's essentially a grant, I mean, you don't have to pay it back under many circumstances. Why does it have to go through the bank anyway? They shouldn't have to worry about that.
That's the only way. Look, here's the problem. We all send money to the government. The government has a tough time getting it back to us, and this is the first time they've really tried. And the systems just aren't there. The banks remember, by the way, way back to the savings and loan crisis and in 2008, when they did favors for the government, and the government literally turned around and screwed them and said, you're stuck with this, you're stuck with that. So banks are being very, very careful on these loans. Let's get back to individuals. What are people asking?
Joanne, you're on WGN Radio with Terry Savage. Hi.
Hello, John. Hello, Terry. My question is this. I am a real estate agent, so I'm an independent contractor, but my business is set up as an S corp. So I'm wondering if I'm available, if I'm eligible for unemployment insurance, and how does that work?
Good. Good question. This is another totally separate Pandora's box here. The government said, as part of the CARE Act, that if you are an independent contractor, self-employed, that's you, either on your own or through your own S-Corp, that for the first time ever, you could apply for unemployment insurance. Now, unemployment insurance is run by the states. And the states have websites because they've all closed their offices. And the websites are overwhelmed with just, well, let me call them regular unemployment people who have lost jobs and are filing for claims. They aren't even set up at all. And I called associates of the governor 10 days ago to say this is going to be a huge problem in Illinois. They haven't even set up their websites to accept claims from self-employed people because the traditional forms you fill out ask about your employer and would kick you out of the system if you couldn't give an employer and a reference and a salary and a so forth. So for those, it's a great idea. Unemployment insurance for the self-employed and people just like you, Joanne, but the state of Illinois has said on its website, don't call us. We're trying. We're working on it. And I haven't heard any more
updates. But is it your expectation, Terry Savage, that that will happen? They're not ready for it yet, but that there will be relief for Joanne?
Oh, I'm sure they'll make it happen. I mean, Governor Pritzker's had a lot of things on his mind. But I'm sure they're working on, I know for a fact that they're working on this. I believe, I can't imagine it wouldn't be retroactive to your date of unemployment. But in fact, you can't expect to get that check any minute. You can't even expect to file for it any minute. And that's what I'm talking about. Great ideas, but the ability to actually make it happen and get the money to people is lacking and limited, whether you're talking about small business loans, unemployment, or stimulus checks.
Joanne, good luck to you. We're going from you, and hopefully that will happen. Mary, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Mary.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am a little concerned. I have a question about the basis that the government is using to determine what amount of stimulus check that they send to people. My daughter's husband last year resigned from his job and started doing full-time MBA classes. So this year, obviously, their income is way down, but it doesn't reflect that in the last 2 years of their income tax returns. So not quite sure how that
Mary,
is going to help
let
them.
Let me stop you. Mary, me stop you and get right to the point. They should file immediately their 2019 returns. Immediately, because if they made over $150,000 on a joint return last year, they will not get a stimulus check, but the government will look at your most recently filed return. And if you, they're so backed up now that if you file right now this week, then you will have the 2019 information in there where he had a lower income. So if you go to terrysavage.com, read that article, that's top column article that says stimulus check update and TurboTax registration. There's a link at the bottom
of
that column.
But I think the mistake. But if I may, Terry, I believe the point is 2019 they had income. This year they're going. It's in.
Are you talking about the lost income in 2020 or 2019?
Well, both. The last date of his job was like July 4th.
Okay.
So he had last year's income probably qualified them under $150,000, but you need to file the taxes for 2019 before the government gets around to looking at 2018.
Okay, so she told me they used to make just over that, but what I heard was they'll get some, they just won't get
amount. That was last year's. But if they're under 150 this year, they should file. File now. If they're under 150 on 2019 income on adjusted gross basis on their joint return, file 2019 now.
Good question.
Okay.
Good answer. Thanks for the help on that. And by the way, I guess the point I was getting to was that for some people, they made income in 2019, but it's this year that's really going to be hard for them. And for those people, they won't qualify for the stimulus checks. They might be able to get something down the road if there's another version of this. But if your income was good last year, and it's in the crapper this year.
Yep, you just shot a bullseye. That's absolutely right. The people who probably need it most lost their jobs in January, February, and March or yesterday.
Yep.
And the fact is, they're going to be judged based on their 2018 or 19 tax return, and yes, they will not qualify. They fall through a giant crack.
The Ask Terry blog is at terrysavage.com. Terrysavage.com. We'll visit with you again, Terry. Thank you.
Next Wednesday. Thanks, John.
David Hochberg is on line 8. Hey, Hawk, how are you? Good morning.
Great, John. How are you?
Good morning. You can tell I'm used to doing 9 to noon, now till 1 o'clock. It's 12:35 in the afternoon. Hawk, you sent me a note the other day, and it was about forbearance, which is a relatively new word for me, and you were adamant that while it's a good idea, people can screw this up. What is forbearance?
Forbearance is an opportunity for our listeners who are having economic challenges due to the COVID-19 coronavirus to contact their servicer, who is the company that they write their mortgage payment to, and ask for a deferment of the mortgage payment for a certain period of time. If you have a Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan, you have to call your servicer and you have to specifically say that you're having challenges due to the COVID-19 coronavirus, and they will give you, on the first call, a three-month forbearance. That means if you call today, John, your lender should be able to allow you to forego your April, May, and June mortgage payments without any late fees or negative marks on your credit report, which is huge. The challenge that a lot of our listeners do not know is that come July 1st, in this example, the servicer is going to expect you to pay 4 months' worth of mortgage payments on July 1st, which, as you and I both know, a lot of our listeners are not going to have the resources to make that happen. So on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, John, if you cannot pay back that money in full, you have to call back your servicer again and ask for either another forbearance or a loan modification. Now, what our listeners do not know is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, Big Mom and Dad, sent a letter to all the servicers stating that borrowers negatively impacted due to COVID-19 coronavirus can receive up to 12 months' worth of mortgage payments in forbearance. It's up to the servicer to issue that to the borrower. So our borrowers need to get ahead of this and contact their servicers to ask for that. Now, that's just on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, John, and it's going to put a lot of strain on Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac borrowers because, like we already covered, they're not going to have that money most likely to pay back those 4 months' worth of mortgage payments, or if they do another round, 6 months, or if they do another round, 9 months or 12 months. The good news is that if our listeners have FHA loans, FHA just released a letter last Thursday stating that our listeners can receive 6 months instead of 3 month blocks of forbearance, 6 month blocks of forbearance up to a full year. Now, the difference between Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA is that FHA is going to offer borrowers all of the payments that they didn't make or couldn't make because of the coronavirus, COVID-19. They're going to put a subordinate, a second lien behind your first lien at 0%. So they're basically going to take everything that you missed, put another loan behind your first loan, and let it sit there until you either refinance or pay your loan off. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac has not done that, John. So we got to get this information out to your listeners so they don't get steamrolled like they did in 08 when we last experienced this.
I'm not real impressed then, David, with a forbearance program that lets me skip payments for a few months, but then I owe the balance. That's not skipping. I guess it is, but it's not forgiveness.
It's not forgiveness. And it never will be forgiveness because there are bondholders on the other side of that are expecting money from your mortgage payment that also aren't going to get it.
Sure, I understand that, David, but now you got my hackles up because, okay, fine, I guess I should pay you. Guess what? I don't have the money. You want the keys? I mean, we've been through this before. If I can't pay, I can't pay.
I understand. Listen, I fully get it. But what a lot of listeners are thinking is, number one, that, and how do I know this? Because I've been getting calls from our listeners like, okay, so if I go into this, and I'm in a 30-year fixed loan, then they're just going to add 361, 362, 363 months. They're just going to add more months on the back end.
That would be okay with me. I think that, why don't they do that, David? That makes sense here.
I'm not saying that they're not going to do that. I'm just saying that right now, in our current environment, as of this conversation, I'm just giving you information that I got right now.
I know, okay? I'm angry at you, and that's ridiculous. I want to ask you about something.
No.
But, David,
that's
one of the...
Fine. I just want our listeners to know that something might happen in the future. I don't know. But as of right now, if they want relief, they have to call and ask for a forbearance, and they have to specifically state COVID-19 coronavirus, or else it'll be more difficult to get it. I just want to get that out.
But even then, David, you would still, on that, say, fourth month, owe the previous three. Is that correct?
Correct, unless you call back, unless our listeners call back and request another forbearance, kick it further down.
Sure.
You kick it further down the road.
But if I...
And then at a certain point, you're going to have to get some type of loan modification. And then the servicer, through the investor, are going to have to come up with something to solve it.
Okay, but maybe
right now, this is the best thing.
And that may be the only option for people. And then, yeah, if I owe you 8 months of mortgage payments and I couldn't make the first one, maybe it would be in the interest of the servicer to modify my loan. Are you optimistic that that will happen for people?
I am optimistic because I lived through 08 in the industry. And I saw what an absolute train wreck it was, where people were, homeowners were lined up around high schools waiting in single file lines to get their loans modified. And it was a complete, absolute nightmare. So I think what they're doing is, it happened so fast and it came on so rapidly, John, that they're doing the best they can in the short term in order to put a patch on it until they figure out how the heck they're going to help all of the borrowers out there and homeowners who can't make the mortgage payment today, let alone in 3 months or 6 months from now or 12 months from now with Fannie Freddie loans.
Yeah.
They're going to have to come up with some type of workable solution like FHA did. So if you have an FHA loan, you're in really good shape. Fannie Freddie, it's still a malleable situation that they're still working on. But the most important thing I hope everybody gets from this conversation is please call your servicer who you send the money to make your mortgage payment and ask for help. Don't assume that you're going to get help without asking for help. And you have to state coronavirus, COVID-19 when you make the call.
That's David Hochberg. You going to talk about this on your Saturday show?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Listen for him 10 a.m. Saturdays on WGM. Thank you, David.
Thanks, buddy. Have a great day.
Bye. You too. It's 12:43. This is WGN. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Senate Democrats are proposing giving hazard pay up to $25,000 each for workers, including grocery store employees, transit workers, and pharmacists who are risking their lives to stay on the job amid the coronavirus outbreak. Chuck Schumer says they're being asked to take a greater risk, and they should be compensated for it. Crane says some of Chicago's biggest trading firms are coming together to form a new accelerator aimed at giving young cryptocurrency firms a boost. The group is founding Chicago DeFi Alliance, which will provide crypto entrepreneurs and startups connections to trading firm professionals. And we're getting more things delivered these days. Chicago logistics startup Bring says it's raised $30 million. Bring's logistics software gives companies a more efficient way to manage their delivery operations, allowing them to plan, measure, and track the entire delivery process. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Steve Bertrand's also looking at the market, Steve.
The Dow's up 435 points so far today, the NASDAQ up 126, and the S&P 500 up 51.
Orion Samuelson's watching the agribiz scene. Oh, what have you got, oh?
Well, the grain market at the Chicago Board of Trade, mostly a green sheet, except for the May wheat contract. That's down 0.75 cents. But the July wheat contract is up 0.75 cents. July corn down 1.25 cents. And the July soybean contract is down 3 cents at $8.64. The 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals yesterday rejected a request for a rehearing from oil refining companies seeking to challenge the court's January ruling on biofuel waivers granted by the Environmental Protection Agency. The court's ruling this week effectively forces the EPA to dramatically reduce the number of waivers the agency can grant in the future to refiners, exempting them from their obligations under the U.S. Renewable Fuel Standard in a major blow to the refining industry. It made corn farmers happy, but it made oil refiners very unhappy. While U.S. pork exports have grown in recent months, market hopes are declining that the United States would help restock China's need for pork as the African swine fever outbreak devastated its hog herd, taking away more than 50% of the hog production in China. And an analyst said China now is trying to rebuild their herd. He expects U.S. sow herds to shrink at a faster rate amid the pork supplies glut in this country. The question, he said, everyone is asking, what's the demand destruction all of this will have on the meat market going forward? And nobody really knows. The livestock futures today at noontime, this is what those numbers look like. The June lean hog contract down $1.42 a hundredweight. The April live cattle contract is up $4.50 a hundredweight. And the April feeder cattle contract is up $4.65 a hundredweight. That's your money on 720 WGN.
It's 1249. This is WGN Radio, and this is the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is John Williams. I understand a press conference coming your way at 1 o'clock this afternoon. And are you guys saying that that's the mayor or the governor? They usually have theirs.
It's the mayor.
The midday, middays. The president's is usually closer to prime time. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about the big picture then. We visited a little while ago with Terry Savage about your personal finance, and David Hochberg was talking to you, obviously, about your mortgage and how you might want to try and not only get your mortgage extended if you can, but know the consequences of that. And one of our texters or listeners texted in from the 312 area code to say, I talked with Chase yesterday and my three missed payments will go on the back end. If I cannot make the July 1st payment, I need to call before that date. That's a little of the sensible, I think, forgiveness that or negotiating that I think all of us are hoping you will experience out there. But Hawk was talking about forbearance, which is not forgiveness, and what you need to know. He'll talk more about that Saturday morning here on WGN Radio, and his show is at 10 o'clock. On a phone line now is Orfi Duvungi, who is the chief economist with the Illinois Policy Institute. Orfi, it's John. Welcome back. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing okay, considering what's happening right now. John, how are you?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I'm doing fine, thanks, but you're right. I always begin conversations, don't we all, with how are you doing? And, of course, nobody's doing well. I guess if you don't have the virus, that's good. But economically,
that's right.
And that's what you're talking about, everybody's not only suffering, but the consequences are pretty dire the way you look at them. What are you looking at with respect to Illinois? Who's impacted most, and what are the numbers?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, you got some estimates out there about what we should expect in terms of the decline in economic activity caused by the pandemic, but also the lockdown. And we just kind of looked at industries in Illinois, the contribution of various sectors to economic activity in the state, and it shows that basically roughly 1.5 million workers. Or 24% of our workers are in these sectors that are directly affected by the lockdown. Those sectors are, you know, the food and services industry, retail, you know, all these contact-intensive industries that have been asked to, where workers have been asked to stay home.
Yeah, well, I mean, you literally made a list of it. Think about that. So accommodations, that means, I guess, hotel workers, amusement, yeah, sure, the parks are closed, religious, civil service, transportation has been cut or curtailed, entertainment, performing arts, we talked about that a little while ago. So
that's right.
$100 billion worth of economic activity that's told to stay home, right?
That's right. That's right. You know, you got, 1.5 million workers, 11% of the state's economy, $100 billion in 2019. And that's unfortunate. I mean, you think about even sporting events. You know, when you go to the stadium, you know, you go to the ballpark, you see, you know, all the vendors, they're not working right now. And so that's causing a lot of pain. You know, when people lose their jobs, they struggle to pay their bills. You know, that you got rent, mortgage payments, credit card debt. You know, the risk of default is increasing by the minute. and a lot of especially low-income family hourly paid workers are going to suffer as a result. And so that's really unfortunate.
It makes you appreciate the messaging problems that the president and the governor have. I think that the president's statement yesterday that he's a cheerleader, he probably knows some of this on a national or state-by-state level, but just doesn't want to continue to harp on it. And yet I also think if you're an investor, if you're an employee, if you're a small business, you need to know what's coming down the road.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, we got estimates from the St. Louis Fed president, James Bullard. You know, he's talking about a 50% decline in economic activity in Q2. And that's not even the craziest of estimates, because, you know, a lot of these economists out there are hoping it's only a one-quarter dip in economic activity. And the length of that, the duration of that dip is really going to depend on how fast we can get a hold, a control of this virus and stop it from spreading.
Orfi, do you think that the market will then rebound more quickly than the jobs will, that Wall Street will do better, faster than Main Street?
I'm not sure. I think the market will look at, you know, once we reach a peak, you know, we hear about flattening the curve. I think once we reach a peak in the number, in the death toll, the human cost, I think the market will start to rebound. But I think that the federal government is doing, you know, something by sending checks to households and businesses. I think it's important to support demand at this time. If people can't pay their bills, well, let's help them pay their bills, right? And let's minimize the risk of business failures, right? You know, if a business fails, then it's over. It's really difficult to start from the ground up again. So if we can minimize the risk of business failures, keep businesses going, keep their workers on the payroll, that would be good to get what we call a V-shaped recovery at the end of this whole thing. But there are also things that we can do at the state level, right? So the state of Illinois, unfortunately, does not have a rainy day fund. We've been talking about it for years. You know, you need a rainy day fund for things like this. It doesn't have a rainy day fund, but at least, at the very least, it could stop all kinds of tax collections. That would provide, really, you got tax and fees, and parking tickets in the city of Chicago, for example. Mayor Lightfoot is doing something about that, and she should be commended for that. We got to do everything we can to provide relief. And one last thing about that. If people don't pay their rent and mortgage payments, then this whole thing could actually go into the financial sector, right? And the last thing we need is the financial sector blowing up all over again.
So let's use the government aid to help people make those payments. You can read more about this at IllinoisPolicyInstitute.org. Actually, it's IllinoisPolicy.org. And Orfi Devungi is the chief economist at the Illinois Policy Institute here in Chicago. His colleague Austin Berg is a regular on our Mincing Rascals podcast. You guys are great. We appreciate your time, Orfi. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John.
It's our pleasure. You bet.